This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Jonathan All.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
As you probably know, photographer Adam Ward and reporter Allison Parker of WDBJ-TV in Roanoke, Virginia, died last week when they were shot and killed while doing a live story. A woman they were interviewing live on the air at the time of the shooting was wounded. The killer is a former co-worker, Vester Lee Flanagan, used the TV name of Bryce Williams. He later died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And Jasmine, you're the one with a lot of TV experience on this panel. And I imagine the type of story that Ward and Parker were doing, that's something you've probably been involved with many times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're always sending out our reporters to do live shots. And that was a very mundane kind of story. It was very typical morning news, nothing very controversial. They were at a water park with, I believe, a representative from the Chamber of Commerce there. Vicki Gardner was her name. Is her name. She was also shot, and she is recovering in the hospital. But that's not something that you ever expect to see. And you know, I worked in Las Vegas. I've worked in Ohio in a very small community. And every time I sent a reporter out, I mean, there's something in the back of your mind, maybe something could happen. But on a story like that, that's not expected. That's not, you don't even think about that.
Well, and you and Jonathan both looked up this guy's Twitter account last Tuesday, Bryce Williams or Vester Lee Flanagan, and saw him sending stuff out live.
I don't know that I have ever been in a more surreal situation because, you know, there were news reports that this Bryce Williams was the one that they were looking for. So I put his name into Google. His Twitter account came up. I pulled up his Twitter account, and there were posts in the last few minutes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what? And it was the posts that he had making allegations against Ward and Parker. And then a new one popped up, and it was a video of him doing the shooting. It completely blew my mind that. And I mean, I know that it's always been possible, but to actually be witness to a killer posting a video of their crime on the internet and sitting there behind your computer and realizing that this guy is posting this mm-hmm. right now while the police are looking for him within minutes of him having taken two lives and nearly taken a third was disturbing and surreal. Anyone who's in journalism, it takes a lot to get you rattled, but I was thoroughly rattled that day.
Yeah, and when I saw the Twitter account, it was before he posted the video initially, and mm-hmm. my first thought is, I'm skeptical. Is this someone who just has hijacked this man's name and is now tweeting these things? So I went through the timeline previously, and I saw it went back quite a while, and it was pictures of him even from childhood. So I realized at that point that it really was his Twitter account. And then a friend of mine they told me, hey, that he just posted a video. And I looked back and it popped up in front of my eyes and I watched it unfold. And as soon as I was finished watching it, Twitter took the account down. It was surreal. That's the best word for it, Jonathan. I could not believe what I was seeing.
And, you know, I think that it's important to qualify that we're not in any way suggesting that a journalist's life is somehow worth more than anybody else's. I mean, tragedies happen every day. But I think that in the context of Shop Talk, it is important to talk about the ramifications that this will have on journalism. And Jasmine, I'd be really interested in your thoughts. My take is, though, that I think there will be a chilling effect for a little bit. I think there will be a while that there is a pullback on live shots, but then I'm sure that everyone will just go back to what the consultants always say, that you have to be live, local, and late-breaking all the time. But I'm also wondering, are we even going to change the terminology? Because this has always been called a live shot. And, you know, I'm wondering if people in the business are going to call it live reports or a live or something and take the word shot out of it because of what happened. But you have a lot more access to this part of the business than I do.
Yeah, I agree with Jonathan there. It might have a small effect for a little while, but they're always going to be sending people out in the field. And I just listened to a radio show by a former reporter that I worked with in Las Vegas, and she was brought on. She's moved out of the business, and for many of the reasons that we have just seen in the past few days. She also worked not only in Las Vegas but in San Francisco, and she was witness to people with AK-47s shooting people in the streets. I mean, she's been in very, very dangerous situations. She left the business because she did not want to be placed in situations like that. And she said, I mean, and these are her words, that she was put in dangerous situations for absolutely no reason because those live shots were not needed. You're out sometimes in the middle of a street or in the middle of the night. You can't even see anything around that reporter, but they still send that reporter out to make it look, you know, immediate. Mm-hmm. That they are right there. They're in the scene. But, you know, she said, why do we need to always be there when there's really nothing added to the story?
It's almost laughable sometimes to see a reporter during a 10 o'clock newscast doing a live report, for example, outside a courthouse that closed
right.
5 or 6 hours ago.
And you know, they have these enormous vans with the station logo plastered all over it. They have lights up. They have a mast, which is the thing that comes up from the truck to get the signal back to the station, that goes, what, 30 feet in the air sometimes?
Mm-hmm. It can.
Yeah, it's hard to be discreet in this, and they want people to know that they're in the community doing things. But the downside of that is that you can easily become a target, be it from a random person or, as we saw in Virginia, someone who wanted to find those two people and do bad things to them. It was very easy to find them.
Yeah, and a lot of people asked, well, how did he know where they were? And I just thought, I mean, it's obvious. You are always having your reporters tweet out on Facebook where they're going. And you also do a lot of tease-aheads in a show mm-hmm. where so-and-so is going to be live coming up. You know, stay tuned for that. You're always telling the audience where your reporters are. You're giving the cross streets of where they are. People can find them. And I think it is something to really consider, and for news management to really consider, do we always need the reporter there? And even with this live shot, it didn't necessarily have to be at the water park. They could have had B-roll, you know, shots of the water park and interviewed her in the studio. The news management really need to consider whether or not it's something they want to do, is send the reporters out to every single place. Do I think there's going to be a lot of change after this? No, not really. And I just think it comes down to the bottom line. The consultants do. They say send those reporters out. The audience wants to see that. And I have to wonder does the audience really need to see them there?
Well, and maybe more importantly, do they want to? If you do those kind of live reports, does that really have an effect on ratings? Or has that just been what the consultants have been selling for, you know, 20 years now, of telling people that that's how you have to do it?
Yeah. And I would love to see maybe a station do maybe fewer live shots and see how their ratings do look, because there are ways to supplement any interview you do. There are plenty of ways to do that.
All right. Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.